Okay, ladies, do you want to know what?
What?
I was gone last week and I missed you so much. Thanks for letting me have a night off. But do you want to know what was so sweet and fun for me? When I get a note from the substitute teacher who knocked it out of the park, and she says, "Your night crew, they're feisty." That made this teacher mama heart like just go like, "They are! We are so feisty. We are so feisty, and I love it so much. So much." Okay. You have done harder things than Bible study. Yes?
Yes.
Have you done harder things than answer 25 questions and read 12 verses?
Yes.
Tell me one thing you've done that's harder.
Marriage.
Are we forgetting? Tell me one thing as loud as you can that's harder than Bible study. Thank you. Ladies, we are halfway done. So give everybody a high five. Somebody give somebody a high five. Halfway done. We are halfway done. And if you are following, like, Bible studies nowadays are really, like, published. They're, like, 6 weeks. Oh, 6 weeks long. So you've technically already completed one Bible study, and you're about to start a second if you really want to be technical about it. Way to go. But, ladies, we have done harder things. I know most of you work. Okay? How many of you work? Raise your hand. Part-time, full-time, something-time. You work. I know lots of you have kids, or you take care of family members, or this and that, and you're involved in other areas of this church or another, and that is a lot. Turn to your friend and be like, "It's a lot." Maybe, like, lay your head down for 2 seconds. Then pop it up, because we got to wake up for the next hour. Guys, that's a lot. But can I tell you, high schoolers are doing English assignments that would make our heads explode. Like, first grade math, my daughter Paris, she's been here before, like, even in her first grade, math is hard for me sometimes. Like, now they put the equal sign on the other side, so confused. I had to email the teacher this week and be like, "I'm not sure, like, how to help her with her math homework and she's in first grade." Ladies, but reading the Word of God, it's not too hard for you, but you have to be disciplined with it, okay? We're going to do this, and we do it to know Him. So let's not miss the fact that let's not become so consumed with the Word of God that we miss connecting with Father, right? Like this, your Bible study. Everybody hold up your Bible study. Everybody say, "Man-made."
Man-made.
Now if you have your Bible, hold that up. Say, "God-breathed."
God-breathed.
Ladies, we do this Bible study that is man-made, not to complete it. Okay? Which is why you can still come if you haven't answered a single question. Tell your friend, you can still come. Has anybody ever not answered a question? Raise your hand if you've not missed maybe one question. Just one. Like, just one? No, I mean, like, minimum. Maybe you've not answered 1 to 1,000 questions you've not answered. Raise your hand. Still too confusing. We need coffee at night for answer questions. This is like first grade math. This is how I felt helping Paris, guys. We're like trying to help each other with the equations. It's not working so well. I love you so much. We have done harder things, but this isn't too hard. We pursue this not to complete a study that was written by man, but so we can know the Father. So we push and we push and we push because it is the best thing we can do. And it's not too hard. It's not too hard, but you got to be disciplined with it. Okay. Who's reading? Teresa. Yes. Can you read? Do you have the microphone? Did Tia give it to you?
No.
Oh. Are we going to do this again? Like, yeah. Me and Donovan?
It's okay.
Donovan, tell you how fun it is. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, read it loud. Go ahead.
James 2:14.
Yes, girl.
26.
Okay.
"Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend,' be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I could already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith then I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together, hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut out faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse in your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set apart when was set right with God, includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse.
Encouraging? Or you feel good? James, did Summer bring her James Don't Play sign last week? Did she bring it? Yes. I love that because it has, like, we've talked about the punches. It's been like one punch after another, after another, after another. And James, seriously, don't play. We're like, we need shirts. T, are we getting on that? Shirts? I think needs to happen. Well, you can do shirts and trademark it and make a killing. You can sell to at least 200 people. Okay. Faith and works. Works and faith. This was kind of a tricky week because it's something that we feel very territorial of what is true about faith, yes? And then we also can be uncertain of the clarity of what happens with work. So I have a sheet for you, just one thing for you today. We're going to be, this sheet, you can use it to write notes if you want for space, or you can take notes in your deal. But I did want to provide you the full definitions of some of the key words. Don't let me reading them right now. I'll point you to them when you need them. But I wanted you to have it so if you do take notes and want to write down definitions, you're not like, wait, what, what? How do you spell that weird word? I wanted it just there for you. So faith and works. The faith one, it, you can see it there, is a firm persuasion or a belief in truth. So if someone has, verse 14, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, what it's saying is if someone has a firm persuasion, and in this context, that firm persuasion is in who? Jesus, right? If you have a firm persuasion in Jesus, but does not have works, and that works word, ergon, work, performance, the result or object of employment, your job, making or working something done. In James, works of faith springing from faith combined with faith. So here we have the beginning of this faith that we're talking about. These works that are being associated with faith spring out of faith. So it's not a separate from, it's not a, I'm not sure how they work together or they disqualify one another. This isn't like a Calvinist Arminian discussion. This is, you don't have to have a can. It is both and always going with each other. And we can see that because he gave us an example of if you see someone naked and hungry and you just go to them, bless you, right? And you give them like a Romans Road tract, which is what we did in the 90s, and that's all you give them. And then you put a little tally mark, I shared the gospel with a homeless person today. Praise be to Jesus. What happens there is you have done nothing. You have done nothing. Like, that's foolish is what we're learning here. And this is the example of what Jesus said instead. So an example we're given right off the bat. Here's an example of faith without works, right? Like, you see someone thinking, you see someone telling you, like, have an awesome day. Have a great day. And you just send them on their way. And then Jesus said, here's how people can know Like, if you want that disqualification or that qualification of what does that look like to have faith and works, Jesus said in your homework, John 13, people will know you are my disciples by what? How you love one another. They will know you are my disciples by your love. Think about yourself at work, on your street, with your family. Would people know you are his disciples? Would the works that you produce be so filled of faith that they would know? And then it said that you will bear much fruit and prove, again, works, that you're going to prove that you're my disciples. We talked a lot about, anybody in the John study last semester? We talked a lot about bearing fruit, right? And that's not always a fun process, right? Because pruning is involved, which is awesome. So fun to do that. And what we have here is like in James, what it's saying here is like, if you claim to have faith, but you don't have works, if you see someone who's naked and hungry and send them on their way, you are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. And I struggle here. I struggle with this one. I honestly, this whole week, I'm like, I don't even know how to teach this because it's so foreign to me to have someone who is literally without clothing and literally without hunger. We don't experience that. That's obvious to me, right? There's a ministry that I get to go once a year to Kenya, Africa. And these amazing people planted a church right in the heart of the city that has the largest prostitution rate because it's a trucker town. So women, the best wage they can have is to prostitution. And they planted a church in the middle of the city. And every single time the church doors are open, they feed them. So we would literally have this church service, and then it's like line up, passing out the bowls. People are scooping with their hands because it's been days since they've eaten. The only way they can have food is if they give their body. So the church instead opens up their doors and says, not today. Today we don't just feed you the gospel, today we feed your bellies. And I think sometimes as Christians, we don't know what that looks like. And Facebook allows us to have very strong Christian opinions, right? Very strong Christian opinions, very faith-filled responses. But we don't do anything. We can even be a part of a church like this that is so unusual, so unlike most churches, and still do nothing. We can be like, yeah, we'll do something. We're going to clothe those naked, and we're going to feed the hungry, and I'm going to tell people about it on my Instagram. You know, like, we can do all these things and literally do nothing. And I was just asking the Lord, it's like, what does that look like? What does it even look like in the woodlands? What does it even look like? And I think we have to pause and ask the Lord, not just zoom past this, but it's such a personal thing. Like, I have asked the Lord again and again, give me examples because I feel like I needed to click. And I felt like he's just said, I'm giving you none because it's different for you and it's different for you and it's different for you and it's different than you. And this is not a black and white answer. It's just not. But there is an answer and we're going to find it tonight. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So here we enter into the concept of like, wait, I don't need works. Like, sure, we should do works because Christian people should do good things. Yes, can we all agree that? But I was told at VBS that all I have to do is just like admit, confess, believe I am a Christian, and I have the ABCs and I'm in. Right? This is what we're told. Just have faith. We go to Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians 2. We need to go there. So if you're in James, you're going to the left. Galatians, Ephesians 2. So the rebuttal for this verse, for this section of scripture of like, faith without works is dead, this is where people are like, no works. Like, yes, do works because you should. You want to be like a flowering tree. So they bring us here like, we don't have to have works. Verse 8, so Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through what?
Faith.
Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of what? worked so that no one may boast. That's confusing, right? Like, how could Paul be saying, no works, just faith, and then James is telling us, you gotta have the works or else your faith isn't real. It's confusing, isn't it? Except for here, they're talking about your salvation. This is the beauty. Remember when the cross was here that one week? And we just laid it to him because he's worthy of it? This, your faith, getting a follower sanctified of Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. This is the beauty of the gospel. This is like why James is like, I'm going after that early church, because he got it too. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. Your parents didn't do it for you. Your awesome Bible drill skills didn't do it for you. That you stopped cussing didn't do it for you. Like, nothing. Just the saving act of Jesus, of those ABCs of like, God, I believe this, and I'm giving you my whole life. Nothing you could have done for that kind of faith in salvation. But then we keep reading because we read context, yes? We don't just read blurbs. We don't just read bumper sticker verses. We read God's whole word. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good what?
Works.
Yes, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you are saved by faith alone. There's not a single work you could have pretended to do. Even if you think maybe you cleaned it up enough for him, there's nothing. But you, sister, look at me for 2 seconds. You were created for good works. You are actually his workmanship. And that's hard to believe when we look in the mirror sometimes. That's hard to believe when we know what he's rescued us from. It's hard to believe when we know our inabilities to do things for him. But you are his workmanship. And you have been created to work. You might be feeling restless or wondering or numbing out or just like, I go to work, I go home, I eat, I sleep, I binge watch Netflix, I go to sleep, I wake up early, I'm running late to work, and you just repeat these same cycles. Just as numb as somebody addicted to crack. But he has a different story for you. He said, I've created you. I've created you to do a work for me. And this work involves some crazy amounts of faith. Yes? And it says, though, so we know faith is essential only for salvation. But to walk with Jesus, you gotta have both. It called you, if you choose to do faith without works, here were the definitions that we were given this week. You are dead. We're not gonna read those today, but you have the definition there. You are foolish and you are useless. If you're like, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm not comfortable with that, I'm warming it up, just a baby step, I'll do 3 questions this week, Becky, and I'll even wave to my neighbor. You know, if you're like, I'm just going to kind of do some things, you are dead, and you are foolish, and you are useless. And those aren't awesome things to hear, right? Like, nobody wants to, like, hey, what, I'm dead. That's what it says. And my guess is some of you already feel that. Like, you feel like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you just feel, you do feel dead. And you do, you're like, I feel useless. And likely, it's because we're not stepping into our works with a crazy God-sized amount of faith, like the examples we were given. Verse 21, we are given the examples of Abraham and Rahab. I loved it here. Let me read verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active all along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. And you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Everyone say, not by faith alone.
Not by faith alone.
And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? I love when other parts of the Bible can like tell us about other parts, and it all just starts to like the whole story is told for us. And I love here the two examples that James, the brother of Jesus, used for us was Abraham, the father, like the father of Israel, and a prostitute. You know, like to me, this is where God is just saying, this faith and works, this workmanship, this good work I'm creating you for, it is for the father of the nation of Israel and a prostitute. And a prostitute. So Abraham offered up Isaac. I was thinking about these examples this week. Abraham offered up Isaac. And I wonder if this was included in the faith without works section for us to know. Listen, if we aren't willing to offer up, like maybe the greatest work you could do right now is to say, Lord, I have this thing I love, or this longing, it's huge. And you just like your greatest act of faith work is just to say, okay. Because here's Abraham waited for the son, right? He was promised the son and then got super old. And then finally had this son, the promised one. And then God said to kill him? That's hard. And in this room, I know there are so many of you, maybe all of you, they're like, I have this thing, this dream, this passion, this desire, this person, this something, and I am so terrified to actually turn it over to God. But maybe that's your act of faith. Maybe that's your faith work, is that you just are like Abraham, like, okay, okay, okay. And you just leave it to him. The next example, Rahab. She had to leave her job as a prostitute to be able to do the work of God. And as I thought about her, I thought about so many of us that like there are things that we know we maybe shouldn't be doing, but it's so hard not to do them. Yeah? But for Rahab to do the work of God, she couldn't be sleeping with multiple men that day, right? There's no way. So we have to ask our Father, maybe our greatest faith plus works is kind of how I keep bundling it in my notes. Maybe our greatest faith work is, God, what is the thing I need to step away from? Because me saying yes to that is not allowing me to say yes to this. And so we ask God, what do I need to step away from? Or what sin is so entangled in me that it holds me back? Maybe it's something as bad, quote unquote, as prostitution. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's debt. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know. But we all have those things that like literally wrap their arms around us and hold us back from the thing God is calling us to. And maybe your greatest faith work is to say, okay, I'm going to leave this and just see. And just see. I'm going to follow God's lead. The other example that wasn't in our text, but man, I just think about him all the time. He's like my person, is Moses. I love him because he is such like, I feel like he's a bit of a hot mess and super insecure at times. And so I'm just like, okay, so like people who think that they're not cut out could do cool things for God. I love him so much. And so Moses is one of my favorite, and I want us to turn to Exodus 14. Easy one to find. Genesis, Exodus 14. So here we have the Israelites. Then Abraham, father of all of Israel, the Israelites, and they had been in slavery for hundreds of years. Everybody say hundreds of years. I mean slavery for hundreds of years. And here they finally escaped, right? Like they had escaped the slavery. And they were going, and God led them around another way. And here they were finally going to their promised land. And then what did they see? Church people, what did they see? A sea, right? The Red Sea. It was kind of, you had a clue and a question.
Oh, dang it.
Dang it. Pay attention. Feisty women of God. They finally had freedom, and then all they had was this sea of impossibility. And it made me think about all of us, like, which ones of us are in that place of, like, we are wanting to follow God. Like, we've even actually gotten, we're no longer in our prostitution days. We've sacrificed our thing, and now we've gone to the Lord, and we are like, what? The people even told Abraham, or Moses, what? Why? Right? You ever done a why like that before? Why? I'd rather be back, is what they said. I'd rather be back in slavery. You ever thought that before? Like that, this freedom thing that you talk about, God, it's actually harder than my slavery days. You ever feel that way? Turn to a friend and be like, I feel that sometimes. Yes. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's harder. And this is what the Lord said through Moses. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent. Some translations say still. You have only to be silent or to be still. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And then, here's what happened. So here's Moses, right? Moses. Ever say Moses?
Moses.
And they say thousands of Israelites. So here's a giant sea. Now these people have finally been freed. Woohoo! And then the army of Egypt is just chasing after them. Anybody feel like there's some people chasing after you? And they are just like, I thought we were finally free, and now I've never felt more stuck. Anyone felt this? And they're just saying, why? And Moses is saying, fear not, stand firm, watch, God is going to act. And then the Lord's like, and you, Moses, how about, there's 1,000 people watching you, hoping you'll save the day, an ocean here, an army here. Can you just like open up your arms like this, and I'll do something. Like, this story is so numb to us because we've heard it so many times that we're like, yeah, it parts, like the ocean parts. No big deal, right? To us, it's no big deal because we've seen it in every cartoon form. We've seen it everywhere. We've heard it all the time. But could you imagine if I was like, ladies, we're going to go home and just walk down the theater to 45. Just trust me, okay? And I'm just going to hold my arms. And I think they're going to stop, and we'll just start walking. Right? How would you feel about that? Would any of you come? Like, we love each other dearly, but would any of you do it? So can you imagine? Like, they had their children, all their belongings. There's an ocean and an army. And he's like, God told Moses, just raise up your arms and it's going to happen. Don't worry. Gotcha. This is faith plus works. But sometimes the hardest thing isn't the walking up to the ocean and getting there, or walking away from our prostitution days, or walking, laying something down at the altar. But it's when we have to act the fool. When it's like, just open your arms in front of 1,000s of people whose whole life is dependent on you, in front of an ocean. And then it actually parted. Whoa. Right? So then all these thousands of people are probably like, totally freaked out. I mean, like, would you be totally freaked out? I'd be, like, freaked out. And so if they came and then he's like, all right, so I think now, Aaron, why don't you tell them, well, I think now we're just going to go ahead and walk through that to where we're supposed to be going. And then all these people, it's not just Moses, but now thousands taking their children in their carts with all their belongings across the ocean and or the sea, and she's like, probably walls of water on both sides of them. And can you just imagine, like, oh my goodness, are we okay? Is that a shark to the guy? I don't know what's happening. Like, this is what had to happen. That is faith in works. And here's the thing. If God can use a prostitute, and if God can use the father of many nations, who, by the way, Isaac wasn't technically his first son, right? And if God can use a man who was too scared to talk for himself that he needed his brother to be his communicator, if God can use them, what if Like, what if we weren't just women who went to a Tuesday night Bible study? Like, what if, like, we actually took the charge? Do you think that that's possible? Like, that maybe things really could be different. But you have to want it. You have to say, okay, I'm going to do the abiding work of Christ so that fruit can bear, so that there is work showing in my life. Not works fostered by your own doing, works fostered by the faith of God. But ladies, I believe with everything I have in me that we are no different than what we read here. Or else reading this is a waste of our time. Else the saving act of faith of Jesus Christ can't possibly be true, because what we're reading in Acts on Sunday is saying that it's actually, we are going to do greater things than the things we've read about. But when I look around at my life, and honestly at all of our lives, it doesn't look greater. Would you agree? So what if we come together and instead of like, oh, she looks cute, what if instead we're like, let's do this. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, yeah?
Yeah.
Come on. Okay. Moving on, last verse. 26. James. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. I think the reason why I'm crying, which doesn't ever happen, I'm probably on my period. I'll take a box of the tampons next week, 2 weeks. Is because I don't live like this. And we don't live like this. And I've been so sad about it this week. You know? And I think the church is dying. And we feel dying, dead, useless, like a fool, because we're just not doing it. And I fear, like, how do I, like, I get, so here's not faith plus words together, and here's the ministry in Africa, and what I don't know is, like, all the steps in between, like, how do I just, like, hear? And I feel like this week the Lord just would say, like, you just have to, like, be available to it. And it's such an intentional way of living, which is why he gave me no examples this week. Because it's so personal, but it is so possible. Because, ladies, I don't want us to be dead. I don't want us to be dead anymore. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30. So they made it across the Red Sea. They wandered around for a little bit, just like we do sometimes, even when we make it to the right next step. And Moses, Deuteronomy 30. Moses couldn't go because he made some mistakes, but Joshua's going. And the Lord challenged the people before they stepped to the new promised land. He said, I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Like, choose it. I've shared with y'all that I've been in a lot of counseling because my life has been so jacked up. And my counselor used to say that to me. I literally have it written in my thing. Audra says, say out loud daily, I choose life, I choose my life. And that's not just if you struggle with, like, depression or suicide. That is, like, because that wasn't my story. It was just like, I'm going to choose my life today. And instead of wander aimlessly like the Israelites did once they crossed that Red Sea, which seems mind-blowing, like you think that would change things, you think that would wake you up. But that is the news flag, the red flag for us to say, even one act of faith isn't enough. You have to just keep going and keep going, because one act of faith isn't your game changer. God is the game changer. He's the one that takes our works, and with it, coupled with faith in him, that's what changes everything. But it is a day in, day out process. Which is why I tell you, it's not hard to do this. It's not hard to come here. And it's why we have to come here, because if you're not pausing to talk to your Father throughout the day, if we're not disciplined enough to study Scripture, like we listen to podcasts, like we watch television, if we're not disciplined enough to do this, what are we doing? We're dead and the fool and we're useless, is what this says. So what we're going to do, we're going to take the next 10 minutes and we're not going to sing a song. And we're just going to pray. So I want you to take your paper, flip it to the other side. This is a copy rights have been given permission to distribute to you, a copy of a planner page. And I want you to just use it. We're going to spread out like we do. You're not dismissed like we do. We're staying in here for 10 minutes. Because we have a little bit of work we need to do. And I want you to spread out. And I want you to ask God, what thing, like Abraham, do I need to lay before you, God? What thing, like Rahab, do I need to walk away from so I can do your faith plus works? What thing, like Moses, do I need to step into with confidence because you can do it, God, even if I can't? Or whatever thing might be your story of faith plus works, because it is both. Because you have been called, ladies. You have been called. So let's do this. So you can write however you want to on here. There's a part for dinner at the bottom because it's a planner page. Let this be what you feast on, like the word of God. When and how do you need to start feasting on God? This is where you can spiritualize food, not when you see hungry people, but when you're talking about yourself. So I want you to spread out. I will commission us with prayer, but I want you to just take 10 minutes and spread out. And just ask God, what do you need to do? Go there. Go there. Pray big prayers. Be open to Him saying other things to you. Deuteronomy after Moses commissioned them to choose life or death as they entered into the promised land. Here is what he said to the people of Israel. Stand up. Actually, stand up wherever you are. And I want you, whatever way feels like surrender, if it's comfortable or slightly uncomfortable, like if surrender is this or this or this or this, whatever feels like a surrender pose to you, or if you need to get on your knees for a second, I want you to be in a surrender pose as you hear this. This was his commission, because we are warriors. We are workers for the gospel of Jesus. And this is what was commissioned to them as they entered the promised land just before. Moses said to all the Israelites, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, be in dread of them," the people that they were going to have to fight. "For it is the Lord your God who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you." That's what he told everyone. And then Moses turned to Joshua. And from the Lord's words through Moses to Joshua, this is what he said to one person. There's no reason this can't be the same message for you. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with his people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you don't give up on us, just like you never gave up on the Israelites. I thank you that these women are arms open, hearts open, on the ground, up before you, ready to be a worker for you, God. Jesus, we are praying Acts prayers here. Acts 4 prayers, where like places shook because their prayers were so bold. And Jesus, we are asking that you do something wild in the Woodlands, Texas, because some women gathered on a Tuesday night to study your word. May we never be the same. May this not just be a women's thing to do on a certain night. But Jesus, may we actually be changed by your word, not just a hearer or a studier of it, but an actual doer. And not just a doer, but a faith work doer. That our works would be so faithful because we're trusting you to do them, Lord. Only you can do it. We don't want to be useless. We don't want to be foolish, and we don't want to be dead. Wake us up. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies, let's not make it this way. Let's not make it just a Tuesday Bible study. Every great act of God started with a few, right? Like the disciples all gathered after Jesus had just died. It was a few of them in an upper room with a few of your main friends. So what if in the Woodlands, Texas, something wild happened because some crazy girls are gathering on Tuesday morning and Tuesday night for Bible study? Let's not be the regular church ladies people know about in the Woodlands. Let's find our steps to love people who don't look naked, but they are. Who don't look hungry, but they are starving for something that's real. So go clothe and go feed and bring your dishwasher pods next week. I love you so much.